My dearly beloved in Christ, you know that St. Anne was the mother of our Blessed Mother. St. Anne and St. Joachim, the parents of our Blessed Mother, are both honored with a Mass ranked as a double of the second class, which means that it takes precedence over the Sunday. St. Anne today and St. Joachim 3 weeks from today on the 16th of August. We don't know very much about them. We don't even know their names from the Bible. They're not mentioned in the Bible. We know this from tradition. But what we do know is that they were privileged to have as their daughter the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have a window of St. Anne, the middle one on the right side of the church towards the back. St. Anne, I think, should be called the patron saint of grandmothers. I don't know if she is officially, but certainly, fittingly, would be called the patron saint of grandmothers because she was the greatest of all grandmothers, because she had for her grandson, Jesus himself. And I wondered to myself if she was alive when our Lord was born. Tradition has it that our Blessed Mother's parents were elderly when Our Lady was born, and that she was an only child. But can you imagine the joy that would have been hers if she was alive when our Lord was born and was able to hold him and watch him grow up? I was driving in town a couple weeks ago and saw a license plate holder, and you know how people have a license plate frame that maybe is a sports team, or some maybe pray the rosary. It's a good license frame. But this one said, "World's Best Grandmother." And I thought, I'm glad that that grandmother is trying to be a good grandmother and thinks she's the world's best, but I think St. Anne must be the world's best grandmother for having, again, for her daughter, Our Lady, and for her grandson, Jesus himself. At any rate, St. Anne must have been a unique saint to be so favored by Almighty God. And we read the epistle that is read on masses of women who were not virgins, oftentimes widows, and you read this and think, that is a long list of accomplishments, the valiant woman who does all of these things. What should our women who are grandmothers, and especially if they are widows, how should they spend their time? Given the normal, the average, very often women, their husbands predecease them, so they are widows. And some women have maybe a number of years as a widow. How would they spend their time? Of course, above all, they have now leisure for prayer. They try and be a good grandmother to their grandchildren, which is so important, by their counsel, their good example, and especially by their prayer. But it's so important for men and women. When you have retired, you no longer are raising a family, you have a lot of leisure, it's so important to be careful how you spend your time and to be especially on your guard against a danger that is women are more prone to than men, but all of us have to be careful of, and that is giving into gossip. Spending time on the telephone, spending time gossiping. And this is important because, again, we are prone to that sin, and also because a lot of people think very little of it. Oh, it's not that bad a thing to gossip about others. So I want to read to you a few sections here from the writings of St. Alphonsus Liguori on the sins of the tongue. St. James, in his epistle, talks about how the tongue is like a great evil. So much harm can come from the sins of the tongue. What are the sins of the tongue? Of course, we think of lying. To tell a lie is to use our tongue to offend God, sin against the eighth commandment. But the eighth commandment also forbids sins like detraction, calumny, slander, telling of secrets we are bound to keep, talebearing. What are these things? Well, detraction is saying something that is true about your neighbor that others don't have a right to know. Just because it's true doesn't mean you can tell people that. Slander or calumny, the same thing, is telling something that's not true, that damages the reputation of another. Talebearing would be telling someone what someone else said about him or her. So-and-so said this about you. And that just spreads ill will. So we have to be so careful of these sins of the tongue. Here's St. Alphonsus. To practice charity in speech, you must above all things avoid calumny and slander. He who has contracted this deplorable habit disfigures his own soul and is hated everywhere. As the Holy Ghost says in Ecclesiasticus, he shall defile his own soul and shall be hated by all. If there are some who agree with him at times and encourage him in speaking ill of his neighbor, these very persons will later avoid him and be on their guard against his venomous tongue. They reason, and justly so, that if he speaks ill of others to them, he will speak ill of them to others. Saint Bernard speaks of a man who was about to speak ill of Saint Malachi, when suddenly his tongue became swollen and was devoured by worms. After 7 days of terrible agony, he died a wretched death. On the other hand, how dear to God and man is he who speaks well of everyone. If in the course, and this is quoting St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, if in the course of his life a man never spoke ill of his fellow man, I would consider him a saint. Carefully guard against the habit of speaking unkindly of others, and especially of superiors. We render ourselves guilty of detraction not only when we reveal the hidden faults of our neighbor, but also when we interpret his good works amiss or assign to them an evil intention. So, in other words, we should think well of all. It's not our place to judge, to be critical of others. Dear readers, St. Alphonsus goes on, try always to say only what is good of your neighbor. Speak of others as you would wish others to speak of you. And in regard to those absent, follow the beautiful advice of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who said, say nothing of an absent brother that you would not wish to say in his presence. When you hear others speaking unkindly, be careful not to encourage them by manifesting an interest or pleasure in what they say. You might otherwise be a partner in their guilt. Has a quote, one more quote here from the book of Ecclesiasticus, which I think is a little almost amusing, but very true. Hast thou heard a word against thy neighbor? Let it die within thee, trusting that it will not burst thee. How many hear a little bit of gossip and it's like they have that inside and they just have to tell one other person, have to tell at least one other person. They can't just let it die within them. But think about this. If you are guilty of speaking uncharitably about someone and you tell one person, you're going to tell your best friend, but then he or she tells another, or two or three, and then they tell others and they tell others, and then you are the one responsible for all the harm that has come by all of these sins of the tongue. So let us be careful. And I mention this on the Feast of St. Anne for widows, grandmothers, elderly people who have time on their hands. Let us be careful to avoid the sins of the tongue and use that time to earn graces for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren now that you have more time on your hands. What a wonderful thing it is to imitate St. Anne and all of the saints and use our time when we have that leisure time to use it for extra prayer and spiritual reading, obtaining the graces for our loved ones. Let us all invoke St. Anne today. What a great saint, having been chosen to be the mother of the Mother of the Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.